Welcome to the Insights solo episodes of the Culture and Leadership Connections podcast. My name is Marie Gervais. If you're passionate about gleaning leadership gems from others and delight at the capacity of the human spirit to survive and thrive, this is the show for you. After interviewing 100 plus guests from diverse cultures and professions, I have learned a thing or two about what makes successful people tick and effective managers lead. In each episode, I elaborate on one or several of the themes sparked by Culture and Leadership Connections guests and reflect on how these motifs can help us all be better humans. Join me as we contribute to the leadership discourse by elevating thought around the cultures and leadership themes that influence management and work. And now for today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Culture and Leadership Connections solo podcasts on leadership and culture insights. These are the musings of my brain and experience in relation to the collective experience and wisdom that I have been graced with in my work experience and also in my many interviews and projects with countless managers and employees. So after writing all of different management courses for different organizations, which requires research, looking for promising practices, also interviewing many managers, and trying to identify leadership skills that needed to go into a course at different levels, I have come to believe that managing well requires three key things. And that's what this episode is about, learning to manage well. This is what I'm putting together out of what I have already collected. Now, it may change, but I think it's based on principles that can be expanded on rather than to be just dismissed. And the three are: the first, most important critical piece of learning to manage well is self-regulation and self-governance. And I'll speak about that at length. The second one is the ability to differentiate, to unite. And the third one is the ability to have high-level thought integrated throughout and responsive to operations. When you think about these three things, you are likely to be a pretty amazing manager if you can show that you are developing and growing in these areas. Doesn't mean you have to have perfected them, just that you're developing and growing in those areas. And the proof that you are doing a good job of managing is that those three areas will also be evident in the behavior of your teams across departments and in individual conversations and actions. So in the first one, self-regulation, which I speak about often because it is so critical to making good decisions, I have three points. When you are able to regulate yourself, it's because you're aware that you have feelings and you can speak to those feelings and say, I notice and accept that I have this feeling right now. It does not mean I need to act on it. And that is the essence of self-governance, that you can be aware of your feelings and be aware of your thoughts without acting on them because you are considering their impact. That's why it's self-governance. You're governing what you are experiencing in a way that is likely to produce the best results. We may not always make good decisions in this area. However, we are constantly thinking about how we can become more self-aware and govern ourselves better. The result will be that we're able to discharge unpleasant emotions safely from the body, that we read reality appropriately, and the evidence will be that we feel calm and peaceful, and our behavior will also be calm, regulated, and peaceful. Even in emergencies, we'll be able to respond in a calm, appropriate manner because we have practiced the skills of self-awareness and self-governance. So that is one of the skills of a good manager. The other one is other awareness and empathy, because when you're aware of yourself, it should automatically translate into other awareness and empathy for other people's experience. If it doesn't, you don't experience self-awareness, you're experiencing self-absorption. Self-absorption is the product of the ego. Self-awareness is the product of the spirit. And the product of the ego always leads down. Product of the spirit leads to expansiveness and growth. So if you are experiencing self-awareness, you should notice and will notice more other awareness and more empathy. So you'll notice what other people are doing and feeling and experiencing at a much more aware level. And you will be able to feel some empathy for them. That means that you can hold their situation with them and surround it with acknowledgement and listening without having to attach yourself to it. So if you see increasingly effective professional judgment and you see increasingly high happiness in your team and in your organization. And you also will be able to observe respectful interpersonal behaviors and words. You know that you're increasing your awareness and empathy and you're spreading it. And other people are developing other awareness and empathy as well. Remember, it always starts with yourself. You don't have any self-awareness. You can't really develop other awareness other than your projection of what you think it might be. You will see in the workplace when there is increased other awareness and empathy, you will see ongoing efforts towards bringing joy and offering solace. It means others are looking for ways to bring happiness to each other and to console each other when they're sad. That will be the sign that your management is working well because the other awareness and empathy is spreading. The third point under self-regulation and governance is the ability to change and sustain one's habits for elevated thought and action. Any manager who can't change their behavior and sustain any behavior change cannot manage others. Because if you can't change your own behavior and sustain that behavior change, then you're unable to see what other people need to be able to do the same. When you're in a managerial position, you're always asking people to change their behavior. Now, how do you know if you're able to change and sustain your habit for elevated thought and action? Well, this is what you'll see. Your identity is not associated with your routines and your known limits. So you're not saying, well, this is how I am, or I'm just old school, or this is what millennials do. You won't say that because you won't associate your habits, routines, known limits with who you are. Rather, your sense of self is continuously expanding, and the evidence will be that you're continuously learning, right? So you're learning more, and you're applying what you're learning to your work habits, and you're sustaining change, and your ability to change continuously in a direction that shows elevated thought and elevated action is going to be evident in your management style. So those are the three points under self-regulation. A is self-awareness and self-governance, B, other awareness and empathy, and C, the ability to change and sustain habit for elevated thought and action. That's the first category. The second category that makes for a really good manager, like managers that are exceptional, not just good, not just great, exceptional, outstanding, and it's not that they are born that way. It's something that evolves over time, but they have these characteristics because they're already starting to show evidence of growth in these three areas. So the second category that I wanted to mention to you is differentiation. That means the ability to see the separate within the whole and the whole within separate and to bring them together. It's the ability to do analysis and synthesis. You can analyze a situation and you can synthesize it. You can take apart a motor and you can put it back together and it's better after you've put it together because you've taken it apart, looked at the differentiated parts, done what needed to be done to clean or repair or replace them, and then put the whole motor back together again in a way that it is purring beautifully. So under differentiation, there are 4 points. So the first one is separation of identity from in-group and out-group bias. That means you don't see yourself as being the group that you happen to identify with. It is a very dangerous thing to see yourself as being the group and the group as you. You may have a feeling of belonging in the group, but the group is not your identity. And as soon as that group is the in-group or the people that you feel most comfortable with is your identity, that means everybody else is out. And if everybody else is out, it's easier to make decisions that hurt them and that benefit you, which end up being unsustainable. If you have a strong out-group bias with no in-group bias, that means you don't have no sense of security. You need a sense of security, which is the sense of belonging that comes from being part of one or several groups. So that is necessary. You can't just have all out-group identity. So you want in-group identity and out-group interest. You are willing to learn and to develop things based on what you experience in those new groups. Now, if you have everything, you have no identity for out-group, no identity for in-group, then that's you're in a dangerous place. That's where people form gangs. That's where people are suicidal. So this idea of identity is a really important thing to consider when you're a manager. What do you consider to be you? And can you separate that idea of you from the groups you belong to? Because if you can't, that means that you have to do whatever that group does to be true to yourself. And that is a dangerous place to be and to see and to experience. So the proof that you're able to separate your identity from the group is that you can stand on the outside and look in and see what's good and what's not so good about the group. So in order to be able to separate identity from bias of groups is the capacity to hold multiple points of view and experience those multiple points of view without attaching yourself to them. And as you consider these multiple points of view, one eventually will emerge or several as being viable. And when that happens, you know that you're managing well because you're not basing your management decisions on who you are. It's not about who you are. It's about what is going to be best for the collective. And you can't do that if you are stuck in identity constraint. The second one is capacity to inspire others and to be inspired by them. A lot of times people say, oh, I really want to be an inspirational leader. Well, if you are inspired by others, you're likely to be more inspiring yourself. And if you do inspire others, you will also be inspired by them. It's a kind of two sides of the coin. And the proof that you're able to inspire others and be inspired by them is that there's increased creativity in both parties' behaviors and increased appreciation and joy. The third point is the ability to balance encouragement and challenge. That means that when people are not feeling strong, you can encourage them and build them up. And then when they're feeling strong, but they're not showing their best selves, you can challenge them to step up to the plate. So you will start to see an increased standard of excellence in work outcomes, in behaviors, and in interpersonal response to teams, within the teams and between departments, when people can balance encouragement and challenge. And it's the leader who gives the example, but the others also are growing the skill. And the last part in the second category of differentiation is being able to read reality without becoming hopeless in the face of difficulty. There are a lot of ugly realities and difficult realities in the workplace, and people go through a lot of difficulties. But if those difficulties that you can see and read, like it's a literacy to be able to read what's around you in people's experience and in the world, if you've got that developed literacy and you're not hopeless, that is the sign of a really great leader. Because others can continue with integrity and motivation, even in difficult situations. Imagine people being in war situations and in horrible camp and refugee situations, and yet still believing in the ability of the human spirit to succeed and to improve past this difficulty. That's what I'm talking about. The ability to read the reality without leaving to hopelessness in the face of difficulty. And the evidence is the power of the human spirit to rise and to shine. That's the second category. All right, now I'm on my third category. I know it's hard to remember them all, but luckily you have the show notes. So the third category that I think is so important for being a wise leader is high-level thought integrated throughout and responsive to operations. It's not good enough to have great ideas and then nobody can act or operate on them. And you're always having big arguments with operations between departments because the high-level thought is not integrated. And that happens when people are not consulted. So being able to think, well, where do we want to go? What are our goals? What are our values? Where would we like to be as an organization in 5 years, 10 years, and in 100 years? That is high-level thought. But we still have to be responsive to the reality of the operations. If we aren't, everything falls apart. So there are 3 points in this category. The first one is to learn to have principle-based discussions that respect individual inputs. So a principle might be that you listen to people with interest. However, you don't tolerate anyone to dominate. There's a principle right there. So that means that you're able to listen with interest without getting defensive and you're not allowing anyone to dominate. So it means that you're respecting individual inputs, individual stages of development, because not everybody's at the same spot at the same time. And it considers people's cases and situations in context, not only of what's going to happen now, but also the future. So the proof is that you're starting to see more and more how principle affects outcomes. And the evidence is that through responsiveness to context is very smooth. Now, just imagine an organization and an individual speaking to the organization. The organization is responding and listening carefully and then responds to the individual. And this continues over and over again. There's a porousness and a responsiveness between the agency of the individual and also the solidity and structure of the organization. This is what I'm talking about. Principle-based discussion that respects the individual and responds to it appropriately. The second one is collective decision-making that promotes honest and kind participation. So you can do this with a group and everybody is both honest and kind at the same time. You will start to build agreed upon solutions that benefit the whole without excluding individuals or groups. And so this ability to make collective decisions is desperately needed in the world. There are people who are making decisions based on a small collectivity, a small limited identity where they're constraining their identities and their belonging and staking their territory in ways that are ultimately going to destroy them and are destroying other people's and lands. And to reverse that, we have to think, how can we honestly and kindly discuss this and build agreed upon solutions until we are finding a way to make this work? It's not easy, but it is possible. It just requires the decision to have high-level thought based on principle and to be responsive to the situation. And the final one is the ability to translate thought into action, reflect on the outcomes, and make adjustments. It's not a sign of weakness to change your mind, but it is if you're constantly changing your mind every 2 or 3 seconds. It's not a sign of strength to make a decision and stick to it, even though people are very badly affected by the outcome. But it is a sign of strength to be able to say, you know, this one didn't work the way we thought. Let's reconsider. Or this one worked well in this area, but this piece is not working. The ability to translate thought into action and then reflect on the outcomes and adjust, it's really wise leadership. And you will see words spoken with the intent of putting them into effective action rather than trying to impress people or deflect from weaknesses. You'll see less and less ego. You'll see more and more evidence that together we rise. It's really lovely to see that. So let me just do a quick recap. My take on what is really necessary to be a good manager. And this means also good governance. This means us working together as human beings on a very fragile and beautiful planet to which we are connected. My take is there are three important categories. The first one is self-regulation. Second one is differentiation. And the third one is high-level thought integrated throughout and responsive to operations. Within each of these, I explained what it takes to govern yourself carefully and develop empathy and change your own habits for elevated thought in the first category. And the second one, being able to see yourself outside and inside of a group at the same time to maintain those different realities until something emerges, to inspire others and be inspired by them, and to balance encouragement and challenge so that people make balanced and moderate decisions without moving from one extreme to the other. And they can read reality without becoming hopeless and stay motivated, even in difficult situations. And then the third one, when we're high-level thought integrated throughout and responsive to operations, means we're basing decisions on principles that respect individual contexts and individual input, promotes honest and kind participation, and then translates thought into action with outcomes that we can adjust in response to the context. This is my idea of where we should be going. This is the future of management, and it's inspired by spiritual principles from all of the different sacred texts of the world religions. It's inspired by looking to see what makes people happy and what promotes growth and the capacity of the human spirit to manifest and show itself in a way that is beneficial to all. And I hope you find this useful. Look at the show notes to find more, and I would love to hear from you. If you are so moved, please do ask a question, propose a different point of view, and you can do that on our fan list page by going to the webpage, shiftworkplace.com/podcast, and click on send us a response. So there you go. Looking forward to hearing from you, and I hope you found this useful. May culture and leadership connections continue to guide and inspire your day. Newsflash. Listeners can now interact with Culture and Leadership Connections podcast by leaving a voice or text message on fan list. It is a fun and quick way to let me know what you liked, ask a question, or leave a suggestion. I will feature some of the voice messages on upcoming episodes. You might be surprised to hear your own voice, but only if you leave a message, of course. So to leave your personal message or your question, go to shiftworkplace.com/podcast and click on the fan list link to leave it. I can hardly wait to hear what you have to say.